I never set out to be in, you know, to do anything regarding activism with Madden America. I literally set out to answer this question, is why were outcomes for schizophrenia patients in the United States and other developed countries of the world worse than in the poor countries of the world? So to me, it was an intellectually curious thing. And obviously, there was something wrong there if outcomes are worse, if that's what the World Health Organization twice found. So it bears investigating, because you're talking about many, many lives. And there was one line, if there was sort of a call to, and again, it wasn't a thing of activism, but there was one line that really motivated me to investigate this, is that the WHO investigators concluded that, and I might have already said this, that living in a developed country was, quote, a strong predictor that a person would never fully recover. And I thought that was such a damning thing, and at the same time curious, but it was both damning, meaningful, et cetera, and wanted to find out why. Now, when I asked people about that, why is that so, say the powers that be, I never got an answer that was in any way satisfactory. The answers would be, well, you know, maybe the diagnostics were a problem, or comparing apples to oranges, and then you'd find out, well, they actually did the study twice to answer that criticism, and it was done by Western Diagnostics, et cetera. Well, maybe families are more loving there, et cetera. What nobody pointed out was that they had investigated a variable from a scientific point of view with the second study. They did this twice. They first did it, and I think the first time it was over 5-year follow-ups, and the Western doctors didn't believe it. And so the second time they went back and did a follow-up study, answered all the criticisms of the first study in terms of design, et cetera. And I think that was over a 2-year period. And they found the same thing. So the results are confirmed. And by the way, it was dramatic, the difference in the shift in outcomes. If you look in the poor countries, it was basically, by their standards, roughly 60-65% were doing fairly well at the end of these follow-up periods. And fairly well meant a very minor amount of symptoms, often doing well socially. And that's another thing they noted, was how well people did socially. There was also this line that when they went back to do follow-up interviews with the people in India, the people were so busy working that they actually had trouble scheduling enough time, whereas in the United States, most people were in front of televisions, et cetera. But once they confirmed that second thing, that it was real, that it was different, and that you had the strong predictor, they looked at a variable, and they said, maybe the variable is that the people in the poor countries of the world take their drugs more regularly. Now, that makes sense as a hypothesis, because medication is supposed to be a variable that changes long-term outcomes. So that makes sense that you have an agent that is designed to change long-term outcomes. It's a scientific hypothesis that makes sense. And here's where you start getting into the bad science. So they did find that the use of medication was very variable, very different in the poor countries versus the rich countries. But rather than more use, what they found was that only 16% of the patients in the poor countries, where they had these better outcomes, in India, Colombia, and Nigeria, were regularly maintained on the drugs. Whereas, of course, that was in the U.S. and the other rich countries, that was the standard of care. With this person diagnosed with schizophrenia, they had to be on the drugs for life. So you now had a correlation with a variable, a medical intervention designed to change long-term outcomes, and indeed, you had a difference in long-term outcomes. So the question was, well, is that the variable? Is that why we're seeing lower recovery rates, dramatically lower recovery rates in the rich countries of the world? Because there, the overwhelming majority became chronically ill. And here's where the bad science is. The minute it pointed in that direction, they dropped the investigation. They no longer were willing to consider that was a variable causing the change. Nobody ever brought that up to me. And so one of the things I wanted to do was to see, was there evidence in our own research literature that would explain why this was so? And actually, believe it or not, it shows up in the very first long-term study done in the United States, done by the NIMH. And this is when you start putting these pieces together. And then I'm going to get to the activism real quickly. But the very long first study, the study that launched this sort of psychopharmacology revolution, was done by the NIMH, early 1960s. Initially, it was a 9-hospital study with 6-week study. And indeed, after 6 weeks, the diminishment of psychotic symptoms over that time was better in the drug-treated patients. And by the way, in that initial study, there was four arms. Three got drugs, one got placebo. But two things were, another thing that was interesting in that initial study was that even that initial study, something like 50 to 57% actually in the placebo group had basically gotten well in the 6 weeks. They were doing pretty well. At least the psychosis was beginning to diminish. But the key was this. And that study is still cited today as part of the evidence for the efficacy of medications. It was cited in JAMA, or I think it was, that I saw recently. But guess what happened when they came back a year later? They found that the patients treated with drugs were much more likely to be rehospitalized, and that it was the placebo group that actually had lower rates of rehospitalization. So at this, you see the same signal in our very first study, long-term study, of this difference between short-term outcomes, long-term outcomes, and you actually see increased chronicity from the very first moment in our own scientific literature. Now, I won't bore you with this, but in fact, as this story put together is, you actually see this increased chronicity over and over again. You actually see it in an MRI study that was done in 1998. It is consistent across about nearly 40 years of research. And the final thing is, there's a Finnish program that responded to this sort of body of evidence and now uses the drugs very selectively. And what they have done with that artful use of the drugs, they've reported 5-year outcome studies in which 40% of their schizophrenia patients or newly diagnosed psychotic patients never exposed to a single dose of neuroleptic 5 years out, and their relapse rates are very, very low. So from years 2 to 5 in the follow-up study, only 12% of their patients ever relapsed, over 50% working, and the patients that were put on the drugs, very small doses, not of atypicals, the new expensive ones, of Thorazine. So the point is, they responded to this body of scientific evidence. So how does this tie into activism from my point of view? Well, again, I was just interested in this medical failure. And I thought science and following this path could help explain this medical failure. And that's actually what I was trying to do with Mad in America. And the other thing I was trying to do with Mad in America was also have the subjective voice of the patients, who are often not heard. And I guess the message is that science, I think, believe it or not, if you actually dig into the research literature, it really doesn't support the paradigm of care we have out there today. This sort of broken brain stuff, put people on drugs for life, it doesn't support it. And last little statistic that I just mentioned to Paula this morning, I was looking at disability rates in the United States due to mental illness, people receiving SSI or SSDI insurance. It's now increasing and has increased over the past 15 years by 150,000 people per year. 410 people newly disabled by mental illness every day for the past 15 years, and it goes up real steady.
How many?
150,000 people per year for the last 15 years. During this same time, our spending on psychiatric drugs has increased 25-fold. That tells you there's something wrong with that paradigm of care. And I guess what I'm saying is, as a message of activism, is this sort of fact, this sort of research into fact and sort of looking, are we getting, is this paradigm of care reducing disability or is it increasing disability? I think that can be a very powerful argument for change, is scientific fact, actually. Okay, that's it.